Good morning, Prayer Warriors. Mark here. Hey, it is so good to be here with you this morning. What a pleasure just to share God's glory and, you know, what God is doing in our lives. But let's go ahead and just start in just a quick word of prayer for this morning. And dear Lord, we just give thanks. We give thanks and the glory to you, the honor. We just praise your name just daily, just hourly. Let us lift our voices to you. Just as we learn and we study your word, just as prayer warriors, let us just continually pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, it is great to be with you this morning, and we're just going to continue to work through Acts and what Luke has written. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we look at Luke. You know, I think he's a prayer warrior, and he talks about prayer, and he talks about prayer more than any of the other Gospels, even in you know, the book of Luke. Now we're in the book of Acts, where it's absolutely amazing what prayer does. And that's really what I love about Acts, and that's what I love about Luke, was because he wasn't even with the original 12. He wasn't even in Jerusalem. He wasn't even in Israel. He was probably farther up north as a Gentile, kind of like you and me, and accepted Christ as his personal Savior at one point. And so that's just, we see what God is doing through his life. And so he wrote the book of Luke in the third person, because he wasn't there, but because he was a physician, he had this attention to detail, and so he wrote as a scholar what was going on in the book of Luke. And now we are in the book of Acts, and he's still not writing in the first person. He's still writing in the third person for this first part, and so he has gone out and interviewed all of these different people who watched and listened. And so he's writing in remarkable detail the book of Acts, and he's a prayer warrior. And as just you'll continue to see as we study this, you know, prayer in the book of Acts. And we quickly took a look at a couple of verses and over the last couple of weeks. As we take a look at 1:24, Acts 1:24-25, you know, remember that the apostles went from 12 down to 11, and when Jesus died and he rose to heaven, there were still only 11. And there in 1:24-25, what do? Is the 11 get together, and they had proposed a couple of different names. They'd thrown them out there. But what did they do before they selected them? There in 1:24, and they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry, an apostleship from which Judas was by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." So here it is. What's the opening words there? And they prayed. And that's what we need to do. And we studied that here a couple of weeks ago, and it's just absolutely amazing. All of those decisions, the tough decisions, we should pray. And it's pretty, we ask God for help. God, guide me. God, lead me. And then there in verse, in chapter 2, the great one is, they're all together. They've selected the final person of the 12. And so they're in Acts 2:42. In Acts 2:42, and so again, it's talking about, you know, Jesus has been risen. Peter has given this amazing sermon, and Peter's heart is now all in for God. God has just truly blessed him. Truly, truly, you see, for this Peter, this kind of a goof. He goes, I'm going to save you. I'm going to do this. And Jesus always kind of, you know, scolded him a little bit. He was a little bit out of line. And that's, you know, what we need to do. Are we out of line, or are we, you know, acting with God's heart, with what God wants us to do? And so we pray about this. And so it's gone from this individual, this small group, getting back to 12, here in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, communion, and in prayer. and in prayer. They continue to work as a group praying. They probably get together, you know, a couple of times a day, and they pray together. They lift up their prayers. They give thanks to God. They praise God. They give the glory to God. And they ask in His name. So now I'm going to go ahead just to 3:1. If you take a look at 3:1, so here, you know, Peter and John, they're still in Jerusalem. Peter is going to be in Jerusalem for a long time. And so here in 3:1, it starts off, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple, the two of them, at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." So they're going up to the hour of prayer, and what time is that? That's probably about 3:00 in the afternoon, because it's the ninth hour. Remember that in Jerusalem at the time, the first hour was about 6:00, the second hour was at noon, and then 3:00 in the afternoon was the ninth hour. And so that's an hour of prayer, and they're heading up towards the temple up there on the mount, and so they're walking up there, and so they're faithful men of prayer. Are we men and women of prayer that we pray first thing in the morning? Or at the second hour of prayer, which would be about noon? And really, these kind of follow. Abraham came up with he started always with the first hour of prayer, which is about 6:00 in the morning. His son Isaac was a second hour of prayer, about noon. And then Isaac's son, or Abraham's grandson, started praying in the third hour of prayer, which is about 3:00 in the afternoon, or the ninth hour of the day. And that's kind of just a little Old Testament history. And so they continue to follow this throughout Jewish history. And so what does he do? He says, "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried." So they're carrying this guy, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So here's this guy who has been crippled since birth. And Peter and John are walking by on their way to prayer, on their way to pray. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, that's Peter. So Peter fixes his eyes on him with John. Peter said, "Look at us." So this man, laying there, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. Of course, hey, look at me. And they didn't do anything. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what do they do? They take him by his right hand, lift him up, they pull him up from the ground, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And he went off dancing. He ran off and told everybody, "Look what these men have done for me." But we know who did it. God healed him. But what I really want you to do is, at this hour of prayer, Peter and John are walking up to the temple, an hour of prayer, and this man is placed in front of him that day. And it's in God's timing that man was laid there, so that Peter and John would walk by and see him. So how often do you pray for this day? First thing in the morning, say, "God, put somebody in front of me that I can witness to them. I can talk to them. I can pray with them. I can listen to them." How often do you do that? I would just consider challenging you, each of us, challenging each of us to ask God to put somebody who needs prayer in front of us every day. And if we do that every day, think of what we could do, the impact that God working through us in that prayer will put somebody in our path, just like this crippled old guy did. God put him there. God put Peter and John there. They brought the three of them together so that this man could be healed and show the power and the glory of God, just as Peter and John prayed every day. So I challenge you today, pray that God will put somebody in front of you in your life that you can just talk to him about the glory of God and give thanks. Well, prayer warriors, that's all we got time for today. Thank you so much for being here today. In His name, have a great week.
Thank you.